Hear again the word of the Lord. Say unto them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus has entrusted to qualified men the office of holy ministry, an office of stewardship, in order to teach and steward his saving word faithfully, and to defend his bride from the wolves that seek to devour her. Greetings, dear Christians, in the name of Jesus, on this feast of St. Titus, pastor and confessor. Today we remember Titus, a friend and co-worker of St. Paul in the office of ministry. Now, Titus was a Gentile who, as we read in Acts, accompanied Paul and Barnabas when they were bringing assistance to the Christians in Judea during the time of a famine. Titus accompanied Paul on the third missionary journey, and he was involved, as we hear in 2 Corinthians, in reconciling the Corinthians to Paul. We heard in our reading today from St. Paul's letter to Titus that sometime after that event, Paul left Titus in Crete, an island, in order to put what remained in order and appoint elders in every town, as Paul directed to Titus. Titus faithfully served as a pastor in Crete and later labored for the sake of the gospel in Dalmatia, as we read in 2 Timothy 4. According to tradition, Titus later returned to Crete, where he served as an overseer, a bishop, until his death in the year of our Lord 96. He was, by all accounts, a faithful shepherd of the flock and preacher of Christ's word. This feast and its readings from Holy Scripture give us occasion to consider the church and the office of ministry. Our gospel lesson teaches us the need for preachers. Jesus describes the state of this world when he says, "The harvest is plentiful." That is, there are many who are ready to hear the word of the gospel and to believe it. But Jesus also says, "But the laborers are few." That is, there are few who will preach the gospel of the King. In every age of the church, there has been a fear. There are not enough preachers to go around. Now, we tend to think that's a modern problem, but it's not. It's been a problem since Jesus instituted the office. That's the trouble our circuit is facing right now. There's 9 pulpits and altars scattered across southern Oregon, from Grants Pass all the way to Lakeview, Oregon. And there's 5 full-time pastors, 1 chaplain, and a few retired pastors. And that's all there is to preach Christ's word from those 9 pulpits and administer Christ's body and blood to his people at those 9 altars. Now, in the face of the fear of what that might mean for Lutheran, the church in Oregon, Christ teaches us today that he has instituted his office of ministry and continues to call men into the harvest for the sake of his bride, to preach his word faithfully to her as a means of grace, to defend his bride against wolves and false doctrine, and to save both the steward and the bride. Let us pray. O Lord of the harvest, you have set apart a people for your own possession, your bride, the church, by dying and rising for her salvation. Grant to us and every congregation faithful laborers for the harvest, in order to build up the church through your word and sacraments, and to defend the bride against the fierce wolves that will come to attack her, so that we may together all remain firm in the saving faith once delivered to the saints. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Christ has instituted the office of ministry to preach his word faithfully as a means of grace. The chief task of the Christian pastor is to be a faithful steward. One of the mysteries that Christ has entrusted to his stewards is his holy word. Whenever we read those lists of the qualifications or the duties for pastors in Holy Scripture, we hear something along the lines of what Paul said today in verse 9 of Titus. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine, and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Jesus does not institute this ministry to give the pastor free rein to speak on whatever he likes, but he must speak what Jesus commands him to say. The preaching and teaching of every steward is to be a faithful teaching and application of the Holy Scriptures. That's why we refer to it as a stewardship. A steward is someone who is entrusted with what belongs to someone else. That is how you should view the pastoral office, as one of stewarding what Christ has given to the church, not as a ministry that does its own thing. Now, the reason that Christ has instituted this and has called these men to be faithful in their teaching is the simple fact that truth gives life, but lies kill. Let me give you an example here. Consider the label on a bottle of pills. It might say something along the lines of, "For the treatment of such and such disease or malady, take 2 pills every 4 hours until symptoms stop or as directed by your doctor." You probably all have a bottle at home that says something along those lines. Now here's the thing. If that label is telling the truth, those pills will be life-sustaining. You take the pill and your heartburn, your chest pain, or your migraine recedes and calms down. But imagine, what if that pill bottle was lying to you? Take 2 pills every 4 hours and you'll be dead by morning. That's what we must consider false doctrine, dear brothers. False doctrine always points us back to ourself. It teaches us to revel in our sins, to be comforted in our supposed innocence, and not to trust in Christ's forgiveness. It burdens our consciences with man's wisdom, not God's law. It declares our own sufficiency, and it suspects this whole gospel thing might be a lie. In a word, false doctrine always says, "I can save myself." And because of this, it destroys life. For we will refuse to believe Christ's life-giving words. "I forgive you. This cup is my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sin." And so on. Every word that Christ speaks is suspect if we believe that we can save ourselves, and if we believe every wind of false doctrine that blows through our church. On the other hand, consider pure doctrine. It is the good medicine for what ails us all. It points us always to Christ and his righteousness for our salvation. It teaches us to confess our sins, to trust Christ's absolution, and it brings healing to our consciences. True doctrine declares to us our insufficiency and Christ's sufficiency. It says that Christ's body and blood have not been given and shed so that a man can make atonement, but rather, Christ's body and blood had to be given over unto death, to be poured out, because man could not atone for his own sins. It took the very blood of God to satisfy God's wrath against your sin. In a word, pure doctrine always says this: he saved us. Christ has instituted his office to always preach those words, and also to always defend his bride against the wolves, That is, false teachers and their false doctrine. Not only are pastors to teach what Christ declares, they are also to, as St. Paul puts it, rebuke those who contradict it. Because, as St. Paul tells us in Acts 20, fierce wolves will come in among you, men speaking twisted things. Jesus has redeemed his bride out of the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan. He has rebuked the accuser. He has atoned for sin. But Satan is always at work in and around the church, prowling around seeking to devour her by any means necessary. He whispers lies into our ears. He accuses our consciences. And he commits murder without a second thought. It is what he has always been about since the beginning. That is why preachers must always be about the work of not only teaching, but rebuking and refuting. That is, rebuking sin and reproving false doctrine. It is not sufficient to simply speak positively to teach what is, but also to teach what is false. Because I know that you all live in this world and are daily assaulted with Satan's teachers. Now, some of them are very easy to spot, like that Episcopal preacher this week at the National Cathedral. These preachers abandon God's word. Instead of preaching Christ, they preach Christ, who is a wise teacher. The sermon you probably heard used Christ's word about building on the rock as a pretext to speak grand words about unity and mercy. But those words were completely apart from the unity of doctrine, and that mercy that she appealed to was a completely apart and not for the sake of Christ's blood. It was not the rebuke that was the problem with that sermon. It was her gender, but that's a different issue. It was her rejection of Christ as Redeemer. She preferred to find Jesus as a nice example, but not as atoning Lord. It was a syncretistic worship service where she was not free to speak of Christ as Redeemer, because that might offend someone, perhaps a Muslim or a Jew or a Unitarian. Some wolves are easy to spot, but others are difficult. And still more are like Apollos, that they still yet need to hear correction, and they will repent of their false teaching. Others will stand firm in their false words unto death. So goes the history of the church. But remember, Christ has instituted this office chiefly to save both steward and bride. The pure doctrine that is taught here, the life-giving words of Jesus, will correct false doctrine, convict of sins, deliver Christ's forgiveness, and finally will console us in his sacrifice once for all for the forgiveness of sins. As St. Paul tells Timothy, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now, when Paul says this, does he mean that Timothy is going to save the people out of his own person? No. Timothy will save both himself and the people by preaching Christ's word. Because through Christ's word, he continues to be present among us. He continues, again, to convict of sin and to deliver to us the forgiveness of sin. Continue then, dear Christians, to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he might bless the prophet's sons and make each one nobler, stronger than the last. Dearly beloved, Christ has not left you to fend for yourselves. Instead, he has clothed you with his righteousness in holy baptism. Instead of leaving you to starve, he has fed you with the forgiveness of sins offered in his body and blood in the Holy Communion. Instead of leaving you to Satan's lies, he continues to speak to you his saving word that creates and sustains faith in his holy scriptures and through his holy office. In each generation, he does all of these wonderful things through his stewards as an instrument. The steward, the pastor, the bishop, the shepherd, the minister, whatever word or title is used, the point remains the same. He is a man through whom God speaks. Jesus baptizes, and Christ serves his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. And he does all of this so that you might have confidence. The kingdom of God is here, wherever Christ's word is proclaimed. Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this cup is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. In the name of Jesus, Amen.